This past week, President Bush said regime change in Iraq, that is, ousting Saddam Hussein, is in the best interests of the world. But after a meeting with his military advisors at his ranch in Crawford, Texas, the president said he would consult with Congress and the nation's allies before acting. Meanwhile, Canada became the most recent ally to say it would not support an invasion of Iraq unless there was evidence Iraq planned to attack the West. Some on the right have labeled opposition to ousting Saddam Hussein appeasement. As part of our continuing series of discussions on the topic of Iraq, we're joined now by Henry Now, a professor of political science and international affairs at George Washington University here in Washington. Professor Now was a national security aide in the Reagan administration, and he is also the author of a new book, At Home Abroad, Identity and Power in American Foreign Policy. Mr. Now, welcome.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
The thesis of your book, if I read it correctly, is that American foreign policy is characterized by periods of engagement followed by overreaching and then retrenchment. In terms of Iraq, where are we on that cycle now?
Well, we're torn between sort of two ways of approaching the Iraq problem. And by the way, when we're threatened, as we have been since September 11th, then generally the two parts of our personality tend to pull together. That is, those who want to protect America at home and those who want to extend America's reach into the global system, they work together because we're rallying allies to defend our most basic national interest. So at the moment, there's a unity on that score, but there are two different ways to approach it. One is, of course, to deal with the military problem, with what is, I think, a fundamental problem in the Middle East, that is the growing strength of the extremists over the last 5 to 6 years and the need to somehow or other reestablish a balance that is more in favor of the moderates in the region. That may mean taking some military action against Saddam Hussein in Iraq. Now, there are others who believe that the internationalists, in my terminology, who believe that we need to focus more directly on the negotiations on the Middle East peace process and that somehow or other we can get an agreement, even though the military situation is one now which is very dangerous and risky with terrorism widespread.
You've recently returned from Europe. I'm wondering, what's your reading of the sentiment among America's closest allies there that to the prospect of a U.S. invasion of Iraq?
Well, they're cautious. There's no doubt about it. And in many cases, they're critical. I don't think the publics overall in Europe would oppose, or even the governments would oppose, an action that is carefully planned, that is carefully explained, and where it is apparent that we've tried every other possibility with Saddam Hussein. And so I think when the president's ready, and I'm not sure yet that he's ready to make his case to them, I think he will find a sympathetic ear, at least in some of the allied capitals.
Since September 11th, like it or not, the U.S. has become involved in the world. The U.S. took military action against the Taliban in Afghanistan. We're now contemplating action against Iraq. There's been more involvement, certainly, in the Middle East peace process. I'm wondering if we think we've learned anything as a nation in the past year, that it is essential that America does have an important part to play and that we cannot be disengaged.
Yeah, I hope we have. And in fact, the argument in my book is basically twofold, that the Americanists or the nationalists have got to understand that we really can't pursue our interests in the world without some unity with our allies, all of whom now, by the way, are mature, strong democracies. That is, they legitimate the use of force, for example, if it comes to that in international affairs. They legitimate the use of force on the same terms as we do, open and free and fair debate. In which people's rights to participate and to argue are protected. So in that community, we should be more willing to resolve issues collectively. Now, we can take the initiative, as we're doing on Iraq. We can raise the issues. We can suggest how serious we are about the problem and maybe even move forces initially. But in the end, we should act only with some support. Now, the second part of this is that we should, however, be a little bit more, I think, cautious about overreaching in the rest of the world. At the moment, for example, there's a lot of talk about building democracy in places like Afghanistan, indeed even the Palestinian Authority, Iraq. I think that's a real stretch. And what happens is that we expect too much. We overreach. We pour our best efforts into this kind of an objective. And in the end, it's not realizable, certainly not in any reasonable period of time. This isn't Germany and Japan after World War II. And so with respect to the rest of the world, my argument is that we should be careful and we should work together with the Europeans, engage ourselves as needed to protect our interests, and maintain an open world economy, which has the best chance of giving these countries the opportunity to develop and then maybe to liberalize politically, but not to try to build nations and promote democracy directly around the world.
Henry Now is author of At Home Abroad, Identity and Power in American Foreign Policy. Thanks very much.
Thank you.